Hello, everybody. Just a very quick one about Instagram. If you're on it, Meta, the parent company, is reducing the number of political posts visible to users on their feed. This is a real thing, not a hoax. So go to your Instagram profile, tap the three horizontal lines in the top right corner to open the settings tab, scroll down to what you see, click on content preferences, open political content, and turn on don't limit political content. That's an option. Otherwise, you won't see almost anything we post because we are deemed political. Please do that now, or you won't even see the posts about our shows, our fun things. So if you want to see Guilty Feminist content and know when we're coming to a place near you or releasing a new podcast, do it now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
I'm a feminist, but... Hello, 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 and we're back and we're live. And I'm a feminist, but recently I went to a university friend's baby shower and everyone was talking about breastfeeding the whole time and how when they breastfed, this happened. When they had their first, this happened. When they had their second, this happened. I've never had a baby, but I really couldn't go into explaining all that, so I just pretended I had and said... Don't the nipples chafe?
I'm a feminist, but...
Hi!
Yesterday, the world announced that Jim Davidson's been given his own panel show, an anti-woke panel show, and I'm a feminist, but if I was told that I had to either become a captain on that show and appear on every show... or never have a mini egg again. I'm afraid I would take the job.
What if you were paid in mini eggs? Would that change the deal at all? Would make it more exciting?
I'm afraid it would make it more exciting.
More exciting.
Have you smelt them?
Less feminist and more exciting. But sometimes things that are less feminist are more exciting. I'm just thinking about my sexual fantasies. I'm a feminist. They're not.
I'm a feminist, but... Earlier today for breakfast, I had a Greek yogurt and mango, and I thought, wow, women can have it all.
I'm a feminist, but today I went to the cinema with Deborah, Celia and Grace to watch The Batman.
The Batman.
I know what you're thinking. Interesting choice. And my biggest take from watching that film is Zoe Kravitz in a cat suit. I don't know what to tell you. That's actually my only take from that entire film.
I wore my cape. Not all superheroes wear capes, but lots of us do. I also really liked Zoe Kravitz in a suit. But I actually leant over to Jen at one point because there was a random woman who came on. She only had one line, and I leant over to Jen and said, "This is a bit strange that there's no need for a second woman in this."
Because we had one woman, and that was Zoe Kravitz.
I was like,
and then this other woman just came in. We were like, "What's she doing here? We've got
a whole other woman."
There's
a woman
already been on.
There was a woman at the beginning who was running against the mayor or something, but then she was in a video and then she was on posters and then nothing, she was never sitting. I thought, oh, this is going to be good. She was a woman of colour. She came in and then she was just never in it. There was no need. No. And then right at the end, she got
shot. Yeah.
Shot and rescued. Shot and rescued. Rescued by the Batman.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, spoilers.
Do you know what? Do you know what? I really feel like this isn't the audience. Like, well, that was the film that I was going to go out and see, actually,
I
Deborah.
Was surprised we saw it. It was Grace Petrie's idea. Welcome, Grace Petrie!
Well, I'm a feminist, but I was also going to talk about the controversial decision to watch The Batman. And I would say I thought Zoe Kravitz didn't add anything to the film. But I would say the same for Robert Pattinson, the director, and the script. So I'm a feminist, but Batman would have been better without
Catwoman, Batman.
Without the Penguin.
Honestly, I think I could have sat and stared at the wall and had a better time and paid £15 to do it, and I would have just had a great time.
If only Batman had had a lozenge, that's what I kept thinking. Yeah. Why is your voice so gravelly? Just have some cough syrup or...
Yeah. A lozenge and some therapy. I think it would have been a very different film.
Woo! Howdy, hi. My name's Nerissa Simone. I am a feminist, but I hate the smell of ladies' toilets. I'm sorry, I went to an all-girls school and I have the nose like a sniffer hound. And so, ladies, and gents, whoever, if you're around somebody and you're smelling quite fragrant, I think you should change quicker and maybe like make the bins a little bit nicer smelling, like roses or I don't know.
Nerissa Simone, I'm going to put it to you, have you ever been into a men's loo? Oh my god, our loos are nirvanas.
Well, since you're asking, the ladies queue is always really long and the men's isn't so long, and so then I went in and I had the shock of my life.
Yes, indeed. This is why we're all about gender-neutral loos. I don't want to pee in front of anybody, but I'm happy to use the sink with everybody. And so tonight, the loos are open!
Yay!
Are we ready to start the show? And welcome, welcome, welcome to the Guilty Feminists! A big round of applause for Jessica Foster Q, Jen Brister, Celia Ray B, Grace Petrie, and Northampton's own Nerissa Simone! Hello, 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 and welcome. Thank you so much for coming out. It's a delight to be back out in the live world, isn't it? Isn't it lovely not to be wearing sequins on Zoom? I'd be wearing this anyway, guys. I'd be wearing it anyway, but I'm wearing it here live in a way that I want to touch you. Is this allowed? Probably not. We're touching. Yes. You would like to touch too. This could be the whole show. I could just come around and touch all of you. I have no healing powers, if you knew. It looks like I do now. Some people are going, oh, could she heal? No, no, I cannot heal. Well, maybe, I don't know. How are you feeling? 1,000 times better, I can heal! Listen, it's not for me to say I'm feminist Jesus. That's for you to say, sir. Do you listen to the show, sir? No. And yet you've boldly sat in the front row. Fascinated by men sometimes. Fascinated by men. Because I would not sit centre front row at a men's rights activist conference. But I love that you've done that. So would you consider yourself a feminist? There was a pause and there was a consideration. Again, this happened to me in Brighton. If I was sitting front row, centre of a men's rights activist conference, and the man on the stage went, and do you believe in men's rights? I'd be like, yes, yes, very much all about that. But I love the consideration that you've taken there. Might I ask, did you think I was going to be Craig Revel Horwood, who's here tomorrow night? Have you bought tickets for the wrong night? No, you've just gone no, and then you've done a thumb in the direction of the person who bought the tickets. Is the person who bought the tickets your wife by any chance? Excellent. So that'd be probably a good way to introduce her, rather than the person who bought the tickets. I mean, I know marriage is long. How long have you been married, sir, if you don't mind me asking? That is a great question, one to which you should know the answer. There are feminists writhing in embarrassment for you, but you're fine. It's interesting. We take on your embarrassment, sir. You are fine. He's breathing in and out at a normal pace, but there are women behind going, no, no, please remember, oh God. You yourself, sir, are just like, I mean, is it something I need to remember? Surely that's why we have diaries, so we can write things down. I'm sure my calendar will tell you. Do you know how long you've been together? You did the maths a second ago. They say women can't do maths, but for things like this, we can. That's a joke. Women can do maths across the board. I can't, but I don't speak for all women. This has got all... Listen, you've got me into this mess. I blame you. What's your name, sir? Alex and... Alex and Fiona. Lovely. Thank you. Very welcome. Well, very welcome here. Yes. Fiona, how long have you been together? 19 years. 19 years. And you've brought Alex along tonight. Do you listen to the podcast? You don't listen to the podcast either. Were you the one that thought it was Craig Revelbourne? Were you expecting a little bit of Strictly Come? I have been learning to dance in lockdown, so I might be able to do a pirouette. Just one second. I haven't done one for ages. I've barely, in the pandemic, I mean, we're still in the pandemic. We're just pretending we're not in this country. That's the thing. But since out of lockdown, it's harder to find the time. So it's possible I can no longer do a pirouette. In fact, I'm going to let you can take the mic in case you need to busk while I'm preparing. What's your name? Kirsty. Are you happy to busk? Yeah, great. Okay. So Kirsty, you might need to do a commentary if this goes wrong. If you were, listen, these people were doubled over when you couldn't remember how long you'd been married. Listen, they're looking at me, they're thinking, a pirouette, I don't know. Kirsty, just to take the mic. Okay.
Ready? All right. We believe in you.
And she's nailed it!
It wasn't a perfect landing, but I fudged it and I acted as if it was meant to be. And that's feminism. It's just you have a good old crack and then you land as if that's the way you were meant to land. And you don't say, no worries if not, I hope that was okay. Did that make any sense? You just go, yes, it did make sense. Thank you. A little bit of the old jazz handers. This is great for the podcast, obviously. Any kind of dance-based material is great for a podcast. If you're listening at home, I just did a flawless pirouette. People were amazed. It was, have you seen Darcy Bustle? Well, she's in the audience and she's like, what? In retrospect, I never should have bothered. And you don't know whether that's true or not because it's a podcast and that's the joy of the medium. So just give us a cheer if you listen to The Guilty Feminist. Give us a cheer if you don't know where you're at. That should be you, Fiona and Alex. I am intrigued because normally what happens is loads of people listen to the podcast and then they bring along a few friends, right? And they say to their friends, you'd love this. And they go, oh, I don't really listen to the podcast. Well, let's come along to the live show. We're all going. It'll be really fun. It'll be really fun. And then they go, oh, I don't really know anything about it. You go, but they'll be wine. And then they come. And so it's generally core podcast fans and drunk friends looking for any reason to leave the house. What I find fascinating about Fiona and Alex is, and I don't mean to pry, it's just that for some strange reason, the stalls are really full, but the front two rows are inextricably empty. Not empty, just sparsely populated. And Alex and Fiona, you've booked front row seats for a show that you... How did this happen? You're the drunk friend. Oh, you're drunk friends of someone who you've lost who listens to the podcast. That explains it! Where's the friend? Where's the diehard friend? Who knows? What you've texted them, they've just not shown up. They got drunker than you did, clearly. So you said, we'll meet you here. You've not lost them in the bar. They've not had an accident or a turn. No, okay. So they just never showed up to the theatre. They booked you front row. They've set you the fuck up. They've set you up. Do you owe them money? Have you slept with their significant other? Something's gone on. This reminds me of the time in Friends where Chandler sent the rest of them to the worst one-woman show in history. I recently rewatched that and I realised that one-woman show was quite good. It was quite feminist. She comes out and she starts talking about her period and he's like, oh God. And now I look back and I think I'm more interested in seeing that one woman show than I am in watching Friends. How times change. I feel like your friend has set you up. That's what I feel like. But do you like feminism? Excellent. Fiona's right into it. Fiona's a sister. And Alex is absolutely along for the ride and not against it. And I think that's Alex is like, within reason. He's one of those within reason guys. Are you into feminism within reason, Alex? Precisely. Within reason. This is not fair. What would be outside reason? I'm so sorry, Alex. I'm so sorry. It's not fair. It's not fair, Alex. He hasn't come across it yet. Alex saves it. He saves it. He saves it at the 10-yard line, if that's a sports reference that makes sense to anybody. I don't know, it's something I've heard. Well done, Alex, well done. In the nick of time, he's necking that red wine, though, and I don't blame him. I don't blame him. I would be if I were Alex. I'd be knocking it back. You didn't get enough. I hope you've got a bottle down there. Maybe we can get you a bottle in the interval to make up for everything that's happened so far. So if you don't know what the show is, it's The Guilty Feminist. It's a podcast about our noble goals as 21st century feminists and our hypocrisies and insecurities which undermine them. That's right. And that's the way I always say undermine them, Alex. It's morphed. You know when you have to say something a lot, you add a bit more welly each time, you know what's coming. You get more of a run-up, and it's just the only way I can say undermine them. Now, nobody knows why, Alex. This is a podcast. Do you know what a podcast is, Alex? Yes, okay. Listen, some people don't. A podcast is radio that nobody stops you making, and that's why women do it so often, because the normal channels are, of course, closed down to us. So this is all the option that we have, and we love it. It's my favourite option, because no one interferes. If you make telly, they're constantly telling you, you can't say that, you can't say it, you've got to say it like that. It's got to be an auto-cue. Can we hone that? There's none of this just general bants and chats. I'd never be allowed to talk to Alex, and this has been my favourite part of the show so far. In truth, it's been the only part of the show so far. But listen, if anyone would like an upgrade, is anyone sitting at the back? This is what you always hope happens on a plane and never does. Would anyone at the back like to come to the front? Into business class. You're very welcome to. It's not the kind of show where anyone picks on you. That sounds hollow now, but it's the kind of show where I've already found Alex and Fiona and I don't need anyone else. Kirsty's ready to busk if necessary and has done a great job. So if anyone would like to come down to these strange front two rows, you're very, very welcome. You don't need to. There's people here in a royal box. What's happened over here? This is just the seats you booked and you were determined to sit in them. Yep. You can come to the front. Yeah, of course you can. Do you want to make that journey? Excellent. Please, yes. Come on. What's feminism for if it's not for coming to the front? Call to arms. Call to action. Come and populate these front couple of rows. Come on, people. It's just a bit weird. We don't know. Why are these all sold? Peter, or someone's being called. Listen, is this... Wow, this is... Is Northampton this kind of town where you go, Peter, do you all know each other? I bet a lot of you in the interval will go, oh, you're here, oh, you're here. Well done, well done, well done. Populate the front row. What's your name? Mark. Are you here on your own? Mark, I love you already. He's come here for feminism on his own. Yeah. The bar's very low for men, isn't it? We applaud any effort, but no, I'm delighted, Mark. I'm delighted. What do you do, Mark? You visit Northampton Theatre? Sounds like a spy. So that's not a job, is it? It's not a job. You're MI5. I don't know. No. Or a drug dealer, one of those. Either way, exciting. Just shout out if you've got a feminist T-shirt. Great. And yours says, hate racism, fascism, bigotry, misogyny. These are all crossed out. That's key information for you. I just realised this doesn't sound as feminist as all that. Don't get the wrong idea, Alex. This is a great T-shirt. So hate is crossed out, racism crossed out, fascism, bigotry, misogyny crossed out, and then caffeine, not crossed out. Have you got one? What does it say? Radical feminist. That's right, my friend. Radical feminist. She is not playing. This show might be, let's be honest, a little bit light ends for you. And yours? Trans people have always been here. And then on the back, a million times, trans people will always be here. I don't know if you heard on the podcast, but I did ayahuasca and Mother Earth told me that trans people were the most sacred people on Earth. And I then checked in with the shaman the next day and said, is this a tradition in Peru that trans people are really sacred? And he's normally so lovely. And then he looked at me like quite crossly. And then he said through his interpreter, may I remind you that ayahuasca is a sacred medicine. If Mother Earth tells you something is so, you do not check in with a man to see if it is true. I'm a feminist, but even Mother Earth has to be double-checked by a guy. That's not good feminism, Alex. Don't take that with you. Are we ready? Are we ready for our first incredible act? She is a guilty feminist regular. She is a guilty feminist favourite, but you will have also seen her on Live at the Apollo and QI, like some kind of huge, great, big deal television star. You may have seen her live tour show, Hench, which got nominated for the Edinburgh Comedy Award. If you did, you will be jumping out of your seat to welcome her to the stage. So put your hands together. Make woohooing noises. Smash the patriarchy audibly and welcome the incredible Jessica Foster Q!
Hey! Hey! That's nice! Hey, thanks for all this. Thank you for the compliments! Hello, how are you? It's so nice to be back doing big old tour shows, isn't it, all together and that, especially with Guilty Feminist tour shows, because it feels like a good time to, like, come back with some of the classics, some of my favourite I'm a Feminist butts I've ever done. Probably some of the early ones, actually. I think my first ever one was I'm a Feminist but my favourite type of apple's called Pink Lady. And this is sort of to get the gauge of the room, and I'll give you a little advance warning, it was too much for Cambridge. But my favourite one I've ever thought of, I'm a feminist, but sometimes in bed I like getting slapped around the face. Great, well done. A lot more fun than Cambridge. I fucking knew you would be. Yum, yum, in my tum. It's so rare to have such a glorious group of people together that, and lots of us, you know, I'm still getting used to having lots of us together again. So while I've got you here, I will check, what are we doing with our pubes? Come on, what are we doing? What are we fucking doing, lads? Why won't people talk about what we're doing? I find it confusing, the shyness. Grow it out, full wolf. Okay, fine, full wolf. I understand this is very sexy. It's sexy just in how decisive it is, feminist movement, to go full wolf, maximum. Growler? Mega, is it a pet? No, she's naked. It's that, great, fine, yeah. But also, as I understand it, people under the age of 30 literally never heard of a pube. Gonna need taken to a pube museum to have it proven to me what a pube ever was. And as I said before, we want to seem sexy, we want to feel sexy. Everyone wants to feel sexy, don't they? And where do the boundaries of sexiness lie? It's all good and well. I'm always, me, personally, going to go for the easiest option, which is to go, let it grow. Maybe that was... I mean, that's what she meant in the song. Popular song, Let It Grow. Got that stuck in your head now. But where do the boundaries lie? Where do the boundaries of sexiness lie? I'm of an age now where it doesn't want to stay in the same, in the sexy area. It wants to live down here. I'm trying to use code so no one pukes, but like my belly bid peninsula is making a very strong plate tectonic bid to join the main island. Even calling it a peninsula makes it sound too organised. It's patchier than that. More of an archipelago, somewhere you might go on your honeymoon. And I think, you know, there is an argument for if it's going to make you feel sexy, because we want to feel sexy. If it's going to make you feel sexy, get it off. If you want to you can go to a person. I don't know if you know this. You can have a twat wax. You can, and it's almost always a woman. A woman, not for love, but just for cash. We'll wax your tuppence. And actually, do you know what? Up until a point, you can go, that's empowering. That's empowering. I'm a feminist and I'm empowered. And it's empowering. If afterwards I happen to feel sexy, like a silky otter, then is it worth it? It's got to be worth it. It's empowering. It's going to make me feel snazzy about myself. Then that's self-care and that's empowering. And you get there and you give the loads of upwards of 40 pounds and you'll be like, ow, ow, a lot of that, a lot of like, ooh, that's hot. Like all of that. You can be like, no, it's empowering. It's worth it. It's empowering. It is. Until the bit where she asks you to roll over, doesn't she? And put your own hands, one on each buttock. and pull them apart so that she can pour hot wax directly onto your... It's an anus, yeah, anus. And then you have to stay there like that while it sets, don't you? And at that point, I challenge even the most modern feminist to feel empowered. And let me tell you, at no other point in my whole life have I ever felt slightly regretful at having got to a stage in my career where occasionally I am recognised now. But no, we've got to communicate about the pews. We've got to communicate. So we're not communicate. Terrible mistakes happen. Awful mistakes will bloody happen, won't they? I grew up in Dorset in the 90s. They were still wearing bum bags from the first time round. There was no muff topiary happening in Dorset in the 90s. But I moved to London for university, right? And I realised that everybody around me was getting rid of their pubes, right? And I was like, well, I started seeing someone. I thought, well, he's going to expect that. So, you know, I did it. And he came around one time, right? And we must communicate. Better. He came round and things started happening. Nice things, sexy things. It got awkward, isn't it? In public, got sort of hands in the just sort of the, one of the early bases. Like in the early, imagine the early bases, sort of the base. I mean, arguably the best bits. Got to that first, and he was like, "Oh, hello," and I was like, "Great, you know, he's nice, it's great, oh, great, brilliant." And it got a bit sort of further on into the things, nice things, sexy things. Got sort of trousers and sort of pants sort of right off. Sort of, it's early in the night for this, isn't it? We're doing it. I'm innocent now. So got sort of bit sort of proper sort of business time, and he went, "Oh," and we must communicate, Northampton, because what I'd done, 18 years old. What I'd done is I'd got rid of absolutely all the hair there, but left absolutely everything there. Sexiness-wise, I'd given myself the vaginal equivalent of a monk's haircut. I've just realised how badly that might translate on a podcast. All the people that listen to this but that aren't here, this is going to have just a bit of you, are just going to hear someone going, I got rid of all that but left absolutely all that, and they're just going to have to guess. I'm looking at my watch, but I can't remember when I came on. I think I've got a few minutes. Should we do some gay stuff? Let's do some gay stuff. I realise I've got an extraordinary amount of privilege. I met my queerness in my 30s, right? And I realise how privileged that is compared to people who meet their queerness as children, under 30s. or actual children and teenagers, because I think when you're a child, you know, your whole self-worth hinges, doesn't it, on how respected you are by the people around you, including in your family and your close circles. Whereas once you're in your 30s, you're like, wow, you can disown me if you want, Uncle John. Couldn't give a fuck, you old prick. I'll be honest, Uncle John, it's always been a chore. If you could, Uncle John, please do chuck me out the WhatsApp group. Can't think of a bigger favour you could do me, darling. In fairness, even my Uncle John didn't disown me. My dad outed me to him, and he went, bloody hell, we've already got one of those in the family. I'd not realised there was a quota. But it's made me realise, you know, if that's the most oppression I've faced, thank God, thank you, everyone who's all... I've got to ride into queerness on the coattails of the most extraordinary efforts and activism over the course of history. I just feel incredibly lucky. The worst things I've had to face are a little bit of disbelief, a little bit of curiosity. And the curiosity comes in this form. I've had more than one friend feel absolutely fine saying to me, oh, right, you're dating a woman. Oh, right. I mean, what do you actually do? In 2022, I don't know where to start unpacking the problems with the question, to be honest. One, I'm pretty sure she does use the internet. But two, I mean, no straight person's ever been asked that, have they? Ever? Can you imagine a straight person ever saying to their friend, oh, I started seeing someone new, and their first question being, oh, tell me exactly how you fuck. Worse than that, what is happening in these friends' straight bedrooms that they can't possibly imagine? That's heartbreaking, isn't it? Is her husband coming up to her like that? And she's going, did she just try and kiss me? Just put the dick in. What? What does she think two women are doing in the bedroom, for fuck's sake?
Does she think, just sort of stand there? Just sort of forlornly, sort of slowly take off her clothes and just sort of look down really miserably at where a willy still hasn't grown. Oh no, oh no. Oh, I still haven't got one. Have you? No. Oh, probably better just hold hands again.
I leave you with this, right? So, my girlfriend's got two cats. Grow up. That's not a euphemism. She's not a kangaroo. She's got two feline creatures. And I like these cats, but I'm not sure how they feel about me, to be honest. I've gone in quite saucy tonight, I've realised, especially for the top of the show. Fine. Everyone else will really raise the tone. It's going to be fine. Yeah, I love these cats, right? But there's no delicate way of putting this. They watch us bonk. And they're not very encouraging. One of them watches like that. And if anything, the other one's worse. The other one watches like that. And I was really letting this knock my confidence. And then I realised what had happened. Obviously, there's been an empathy fail, hasn't there? On my part. Because at the end of the day, they're cats, aren't they? And what are cats thinking if they're watching two women have sex? They're probably thinking, well, they are having a very thorough wash. Surely that bit's done, at least. What's a noisy wash? Unbelievably, I'm going to leave you on that. You're so lovely. Take care. Have a great night. See you later.
Jessica Foster-Kew, everybody. So I've got to check in with you, Alex and Fiona. Hold on. Are these your friends? No, we're randoms. Ken, listen, even feminists, women have been so trained. It's like, we're randoms. Other people say some randoms came and sat on our table. No feminist should identify as a random. You are not randoms, my friend. You are feminists. You are women. You are taking up space. You are. Yes, good. You are. Yes, excellent. Excellent. So just checking in. Fiona and Alex, you've got friends now. You've been saved. Excellent. Are you enjoying the show? You're loving it. And is it what you thought it would be? Excellent. Alex, exactly what you thought it would be. So it was... Fiona's looking... Fiona literally went, oh, thank God, he said the right thing. Excellent. Well, I'm glad you're enjoying it. You're going to enjoy the next comic so much. She is also a Guilty Feminist regular, and she is also somebody who you will be seeing after the interval. She is someone who has also been on Live at the Apollo and done lots of brilliant TV things, as well, no doubt, as touring near you. Put your hands together and make incredible woo-hooing noises. Stamp your feet for the incredible Jan Brister.
Look, it's lovely being here, isn't it? Isn't it lovely being out of the house? But also, isn't it lovely being at home? Look, I don't know if it's my age. It's my age, 47. What's 47? Or just 47. And now I want to go out, but I want to stay in. Yeah? And look, during lockdown, when I couldn't go out, I was angry. Don't think I wasn't. I was like, what? I can't go out, but I want to go out. I want to see my friends. And then where could I see my friends? Only on Zoom. What was that? I said to my mate, this isn't a connection. How are we going to maintain a friendship on Zoom? This is shit, mate. I miss you, babe. Babe! I miss you. I can't wait till we can go out. And by the way, when things open up, we are going to go out. it's gonna kick off, yeah? It's gonna be drinking, it's gonna be dancing, we're gonna be living the vida loca like our skin is the colour of mocha. We are gonna paint the town beige. Oh my God, mate, it's gonna kick off, yeah? And then things opened up, didn't they? Yeah, and we put a date in the diary. Yes, we bloody did, and we cemented it in the calendar. And then that day loomed, and oh my God, did I hope, did I pray that she would cancel? Because I don't want to go out. This is the thing with stand-up comedy, when you look at us and you think, what a glamorous lifestyle you lead. Is it? Is it? This isn't our job, by the way. This is like 5% of what we do. 95% of what we do is we're travelling. We're in a car, we're in a train, we're on a bus, we're on a coach. That's what we're doing. We're on the bloody road, mate. Yeah? A few months ago, I had to go to Aberystwyth. Yeah? I live in Brighton. Do you think I want to go to Aberystwyth? It took me 7.5 hours. By the time I got to Aberystwyth, I thought, fuck it. I now live in Aberystwyth. I'm not going back. I'm staying here. You ever have a date in your diary that you're like, I don't want that to happen? The whole week before, I was looking at my NHS app going, ping, you bastard, ping. Ping. I had to bloody go. I'm just tired. God, I mean, what is it with... I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I miss Zoom gigs. Again, not while I was doing them. I was like, what is this? This isn't stand-up comedy, is it? This is just a middle-aged beige lesbian having a breakdown in front of a laptop. What is this? But now I look back and I think, wow, those heady days. Yeah? I'd be in my kitchen with my girlfriend. I'd say, sweetheart, I'm just going to pop upstairs, do a little cheeky gig. Yeah? Go up the stairs, get into the office, open up a laptop. Pow! 15 minutes of dynamic stand-up comedy. Bam! I've made 11 quid. Never going to get that back. That's gone, yeah? That is gone. Isn't it weird how we were never on Zoom and then we're all on Zoom? That's what the pandemic gave us. What did it give us? It gave us Zoom. Yeah? Didn't do it before. Now we're all doing it. And I'll be honest with you, I'm over Zoom. Shall I tell you what I hate about Zoom? My face. Come on, I don't think pre-pandemic anyone... I've never been in a conversation with anyone I thought, oh, do you know what's missing from this chat? I'd love to know what my face is up to right now. Yeah? Oh, yeah, please tell me what my stupid pinhead is doing right now. And the thing I resent about Zoom is that you know whoever you're talking to on Zoom, they're not looking at your face, are they? They're looking at their own face. Yeah? And you're not looking at their face. You're looking at your face thinking, what the fuck is wrong with my face? Why did you not tell me my face does that? All right, what have we learned? What have we learned from the pandemic? I'll tell you what I've learned. I've learned that when I ask people how they are, I don't give a shit. Yeah? Okay, that's not strictly true. What I mean is that if I'm having a shit time and I ask you how you are, I don't want to hear from you if you're having a good time. Do you remember in lockdown there were some people that were fucking loving it? Just, let's be motivated, let's be positive. That's what, that is, where I live in Brighton, that's every, let's be, come on. Let's just bloody well muddle through and make the best of things. Let's be positive, let's be optimistic, okay? Come on. We've got time on our hands when we didn't have time before. We can just connect with our children. We can really, really spend time with our partners. We can bake sourdough. We can do yoga with Adrienne. By the way, if you live in Brighton, why the fuck are you baking sourdough? That whole town is made of sourdough, yeah? I think, do you know what we all really want? A tiger loaf, okay? And I think on that note, I'm going to fuck off. You seem lovely. This will be such a fun night. Let's bring back Deborah!
Jen Brister, everybody!
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
I've got the wrong microphone. This is slick as fuck. Hello, Northampton. When feminism is fucked up by the wrong microphone, does it give up?
No.
Does the sisterhood prevail?
Yes.
Then please welcome to the stage for the second half of the Girls of Feminists, your host, Deborah Frances White. Hello, 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 and welcome back. I am delighted to report to you that Alex and Fiona came back! So thrilled! Did you have a lovely interval?
Yes.
Excellent. And I'm delighted you're back. Did your friends ever get text or anything like that? Hey! Did anyone buy you a drink? Were you... Yeah, oh, I knew you'd be celebrities in the intervals. Let's hear it for the girls. That's right. Thank you very much. Yes, absolutely. Yes, they were brought drinks because they're now local Northampton celebrities. Listen, we have got an incredible second act for you. Are you ready for it?
Yes.
Are you ready to see someone very special and very local?
Yes.
Then please put your hands together and make incredible woohooing noises for the incredible Narissa Simone!
Northampton. I'm really excited. The last time I was on this stage was when I graduated. Thank you very much. So tonight, it's kind of a first as well, because this is the first time anyone in the world would have heard the song I'm going to sing. Oh. So I want you to know that... artists who are in music really care about opinions and are really, they really value honesty, but this is not one of those times. So if you don't like my song, I'm going to need you to go for that Oscar and act like you do. And if you do like my song, I'm going to need you to act like you do. Do you reckon you can do that? Yay! Okay, so briefly, I'll tell you what it's about. Lockdown was a shamble, went through a whole COVID breakup. Life was dry. Yeah, it was very, very sad for me. But I win because I get to write songs about it and then sing them. So I wrote loads of songs about breakups, which will be on my EP that's coming out next month. But this song kind of came at an aha moment when I was like, wow, I never thought I'd be making my own music. I never thought I'd be over that nonsense gentleman who will remain nameless forever because I don't think he needs any more publicity. Do we agree? We agree. We agree. So I just wrote this song and it's kind of about being in your own power and you can't really pour from an empty cup. So you have to make yourself kind of central to your own world. And the title is I'm Spinning Around. So when it's on Spotify, don't confuse it with another artist whose name I will not mention because I don't have any copyrights to use it. Okay, thank you. Let's go with the song. I think it's going to start soon. And dance and clap if you want, like... I will.
How am I
face, I'm proud, so damn proud of me. I'm exactly where I need to be. Oh, oh, no sense, I gotta be in it. I wanna win it, I made a start, so I'll finish. Then all around the world you're gonna and shake your body from side to side. Move your body, arms open wide. There's no ego, where I go, we go. And I'm spinning in around. Watch my hands wave like the sound. Feel my feet dance with the ground. Spinning in around, spinning in around. Day. Curated games I might not want to play. New opportunities, gotta take my chance. But I'm not your monkey, so I don't gotta dance. Not for the faint of heart, but I'm glad I made a start. My art is a part of my soul's expression. On my sleeve, so don't ask no questions. Be confused by what you see. Try to catch up or you might miss me. Stop spinning around.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Marissa Simone, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Marissa Simone, get her new EP out soon.
Hello, Guilty Feminists. Just to let you know, we are still on tour around the UK on the 27th of May. We will be in Birmingham with Alison Spittle, Catherine Bohart, Celia AB, and Jess Robinson. On the 4th of June, we'll be in Cardiff with Sophie Duker, Abigail Shimon, Celia AB, and Jess Robinson. We're also going to Manchester. We're also going to Newcastle. We're also going to Glasgow. Check out where we're coming near you on the website. We are also building up to our 7th birthday show at the Hammersmith Apollo on the 1st of October with some incredible guests. Get your tickets now. We will be in Australia and New Zealand in July, Adelaide, Perth, Canberra, Melbourne, Christchurch, Auckland, Wellington and Sydney. And we've just added a date in Belfast on the 14th of October at Ulster Hall. Tickets are also on sale now for Kima Bob's Fock It Up Comedy Club. FOC, F-O-C, stands for Femmes of Colour. That's at 21 Soho every Sunday from the 19th of June. And that will be a brand new podcast recorded live from the House of the Guilty Feminist.
The Big Speeches Workshop to Up Your Confidence is on the 29th of May and the 26th of June with Jessica Regan online. For details about all of these and to book tickets, go to guiltyfeminist.com. And now back to the podcast.
Are you learning anything, Alex? Have you learned anything? Do you feel you're feeling? Of course. You're always learning. Alex was clapping with his wine glass in his mouth. That's genuinely true. I wish I'd taken a photo of it. If I'd had my camera here, I would have. But you're always learning. I feel like this is not normal. You wouldn't have heard this kind of comedy before quite all so in a row. Is that right, Alex? Yes. Alex is saying yes to that. Listen, I've been asking other audiences and I haven't asked you for the smallest act of feminism you can think of. Has anyone done anything very small in feminism? Because I asked recently for an act of feminism from an audience and somebody put a hand up and said, I just took the Met Police to court and won in the Supreme Court to say that we should have been allowed legally to have an outdoor distance masked silent vigil. And, you saw the police brutality. The Supreme Court ruled in favour of Reclaim These Streets, this incredible collective. Jamie Klingler put her hand up and said, I did that. That was my act of feminism. Then no one wanted to say anything. So everyone just looked at their shoes and went, I've never done a feminist thing in my life. So I'm looking for a small, low-level act of feminism. Anyone got one? Yes? What's yours?
I'm a PA in a hospital and I refuse to do the washing up.
A PA in a hospital and refuse to do the washing up! Yes! Anyone got anything smaller than that? Smaller than that, yes. Made my husband take my daughter to the loo instead of me while we were having a meal in a pub. Yes, that's very, very feminist, you said. Yeah, endorsed. Too good, apparently. That's too high. Anyone got any smaller than that? Anything smaller than that? Smaller than that? Yeah, of course you're allowed if you're a bloke. Traveled 3.5 miles to see women's foot. 3.5 hours. 3.5 hours, another 7-hour round trip to see women play football because it's undersupported. It's not enough support. Mark. Well done, Mark. That's such a good act of feminism. I think it's time to welcome for the deep conversational feminist part. That's right. There's going to be a gear change, Alex. Please welcome back to the stage the incredible Jen Brister.
Oh, that's nice to be sitting down, isn't it?
Isn't it lovely?
It's lovely.
It's really lovely.
Oh, really lovely.
Here we are in Northampton. We're going to be talking to our guests about community today. Northampton, do you feel you have a strong community? Very disparate people.
Three people.
Around. It needs to be the sort of whole thing. Who feels Northampton could have a stronger sense of community? Yes, absolutely. And Fiona's been very vocal there. She said yes, absolutely, with her mouth, not just a woohoo. So, tonight we're going to talk about how we can make that happen. Do you feel you've got a strong community? You live in Brighton, which you secretly backstage called Right On to me.
Be Right On, yeah.
Be Right On, yeah.
Definitely. There's loads of community projects that you can get involved with if you want to, and there's loads of stuff happening. I am not involved with any of them. I genuinely don't have to. I'm never at home. So, there's loads of stuff going on and really cool stuff.
Now, being a mum, do you feel you have to, like, engage with children's community things and parent-teacher things? And is there a certain amount of...
Okay, I don't want to... I didn't want to talk about this because I don't want to big myself up, but we had the spring fair at the school.
Yes.
And I was on the bric-a-brac stand for about an hour and a half. So if you want to know where my community... There, I'm tits deep in the PTA right now, okay?
Both brick and brack.
I bricked and I bracked.
Brick and or brack.
Yeah, kids coming up going, I don't know, how much is this? I'd be like, well, I don't know, what you got, mate? And they're like, I've got 50p. I'm like, it's 2 quid, you prick, or you can fuck off.
You know, some comedians would be joking when they said that, but with Jen Brister, I believe it. I believe that could have actually happened.
Yeah, there was a lot of bartering, and I didn't let them have it on the cheap, because I was like, this is for you, this is for books. I want all your pocket money. And now you can have a bit of brick or brack.
And that money went to the school for books, did it?
Yeah, look,
Did you pocket some of it for a lovely glass of Merlot?
Did I get a couple of slices of cake out of it? Sure. What I've learned from doing stuff for the PTA, right? Okay, and I'm only doing it because I've got kids. Otherwise, why would I? That'd be weird, wouldn't it? Just turning up at another school going, can I get involved? What? The reason that it's so important is because all of the schools are in this country are so fucked. None of them have got any money. And so you are actually, it is a postcode lottery as to whether or not your school gets any cash. And a lot of it is down to the parents and how much money, spare cash they've got.
Yeah.
And that's what I really resent.
I really resent that too. Somebody just, I don't know if it was a heckle or an endorsement there. Somebody shouted out, well, Jen, what were you saying when she said that Jed said about no money? It's just as true.
It is true. You're correct.
This is the thing. You often, yeah, I mean, Jen Brister is one of this country's finest comedy club comedians. Have you ever had a heckle in a comedy club on a Saturday night or a Sunday night anywhere where someone's just shouted, it's true? Because this is what you can expect. The most common heckle from the Guilty Famous audience, and this is why I love you, is this is the most common heckle is, how can we help?
Yeah.
So lovely. I love it.
Very rare that I'm on stage and someone goes, great job, I agree with you. Yeah. No, that doesn't...
This is why you come to the Guilty Famous. Yeah. It recharges you. I think we come out to refuel each other, and mostly we come out to be right together in the same room. Oh, I love
that. What a lovely feeling.
Coming out being right, it's just the best feeling.
It's great.
You know, Mark here has travelled 7 hours round trip to see women's football because he doesn't think it's supported enough.
Mark, for heaven's sake, what a man. What a man, what a man, what a man, what a mighty good man.
Yeah. She's turning, Mark. She's turning live on stage.
Something's turning.
She's curdling like milk.
Yep.
I don't think that's the right way
to put it. That's not the right way. Holy... Well, exactly. I better get to the GP and get myself some antibiotics.
For a lovely callback. Well, listen... I try and do things in my local community. You've tried to do things in your local community. We all think we could do more, including Fiona thinks we could do more. And our guests today do more. Fiona, quickly before we bring them on, do you do anything in your local community or would you like to do more? Yeah. What do you do? I'm a magistrate, don't laugh. Is that how you open when they bring you on? And now... The magistrate, Fiona Magistrate. I don't know your surname, so I'm going to call you Fiona Magistrate. And all rise for the Fiona Magistrate, and then you come out and go, don't laugh. Do you have to wear a gown?
No.
What do you wear?
Clothes?
Just your streets. Just, yeah. The Naked Magistrate, they know her as in Northampton, on a bad day.
That's there's a show in that.
There is certainly, that's coming. I'm sure it's already on Channel 4. All right, but our guests today do stuff in their local community.
Stop saying do.
Come on now.
We were all thinking it. Why do you keep saying do do?
You have twin 7-year-old boys.
I know, that's why I think it's so funny.
Our guests today are not as immature as Jen Brister, although one of them is only 19. Isn't that incredible? The first guest is... a freelance writer and community activist who founded The Happy Hood. The Happy Hood was a... Oh, people...
Oh, some fans in.
Some fans in of The Happy Hood. The Happy Hood was originally designed to fight back against the negative narrative that dominated the story of Northampton. I'm not sure I knew there was a negative narrative that dominated. What was that? Oh, someone just said... Someone just said, you haven't been here long enough if you haven't heard it.
I thought it was Kettering that everyone had...
Oh, she knows how to be loved by Northampton.
It's and not you're welcome.
Kettering. don't mention Corby.
You mentioned Corbyn.
I have to say it back for the podcast because they can't hear you. You've literally just put me into it. You've dropped me in a manhole there. Woman hole, feminism. Person hole, sorry.
Drop me in a woman hole. Thank you.
Yes.
And good night.
Jen Brister's got a happy hood. She's just been dropped in a woman hole.
It's part of the job. It's part of feminism. I had to do it.
Since The Happy Hood's launch in 2018, it has been the catalyst for a movement of positivity that has seen creative collaborations, events and general happy-making across the town. 200 volunteers have contributed to the project. 200! Choose the cheer if you're one of the 200. Yes, they're in droves, creating 16 issues filled with art and local good news. So, our first guest, please welcome to the stage, the incredible Laura Graham! Come sit. Yep, you sit wherever you like. Laura,
hi.
Welcome.
Hello.
I'm so delighted. Now, our second guest, who's also going to join us in this chair over here, is a politics student as well as media manager and journalist for Brown Girl Mag. She has worked alongside politicians, multiple activists and charities. Brown Girl Mag is born out of the lack of minority representation in mainstream media. Brown Girl Magazine was created for and by South Asian women who believe in the power of storytelling as a vehicle for community building and empowerment. They're a team of more than 200 passionate South Asians who've collaborated for the last decade to bring you the best and latest content on South Asians living in the diaspora. Put your hands together and make incredible woohooing noises for Jamila Mokhtadia. Hello, Jamila.
Hi.
Hi, 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 hi. Hi. So, first things first, Laura, could you please tell the locals...
Excuse me.
Sorry.
And bless you.
Bless you.
Cut that out of the podcast, please, Tom. I'm a little bit allergic to my cats, and it can strike at any point. I don't have to be near
them. Even when they're not here?
Yeah. I think it just builds up. You know, I didn't take my pill today. I haven't seen them for a couple of days. Maybe it's not. Maybe I'm allergic to you, Jen.
It could be. Could be.
But we'll cut that out. That'll be seamless on the night. You didn't see it. You did. This is the magic of coming out to the live show. You might see me sneeze. Okay.
What a bit of bonus content you got there. FOC gang, you're not paying for it.
Those people who stayed at home are going to be having serious
They're
FOMO when they listen to this.
Absolutely livid.
So, Laura, can you tell us, why did you start the Happy Hood?
I was really pissed off.
Good as reason as any. That motivates so much feminism.
Well, yeah.
Fury. Blind fury.
Everyone always thinks, oh, you must be a really happy, positive person. No, I was just really angry. That's really what spurred it on. Because I was sick of people saying bad stuff about Northampton. It's, like, really easy to do. So I didn't even mean to get that laugh. Like, it's true, though, isn't it?
I just want to say, if you're listening globally, I really want you to think about this in terms of your local community. I don't want anyone to go, oh, this is about Northampton, I'm not there. Wherever you're listening, I want you to think about this in terms of your community.
Yes, good. Absolutely. So I was just really angry about people saying bad stuff about the town. And I could see, you know, like most UK cities and towns across, you know, up and down the land, the shops are closing and the narrative is all, you know, dirty streets and homelessness and all the negativity, which is, you know, that's true. That's part of life. But actually, I could see loads of, you know, great charities and artists and singers and just loads of people rallying around and helping each other and being really positive and going unsung, and nobody was really talking about it. It was just really easy to talk about the bad stuff. So, I just got really angry and thought, well, why don't I set up a zine, you know, as you do.
And this zine is completely offline.
Completely offline. I know. You're looking at me like I'm a weirdo.
No, we're not saying explain.
Don't know me.
No, we're not saying explain yourself. We're saying why. Tell us about the passion of that.
Well, okay. So, I mean, it was 2018, and of course, you'd think you'd put it online, really, wouldn't you? If you're going to sort of spread good news and you wanted to get it out there to as many people as possible, you should put it online. But I strongly believe we needed to kind of turn away from our screens and turn away from our phones and put them down for a second and have something tangible that we can look at and read and look at beautiful artwork and really feel like a connection to something physical in the real world. And so it is not online. It is
printed. I love
printed.
It. I think less things should be online.
Yeah.
I think we're just being encouraged to have the shortest. We were talking about this, weren't we, backstage, where you just have got literally no... I've literally just forgotten it.
Attention span,
thank you. You laugh. That's the menopause. It's coming for you, and you better fucking wake up and smell the coffee. These blank bits, they're coming for you, okay? I find it difficult. I am put off. Like, you know when you're scrolling through Instagram reels and then something comes on and you're like, it looks like it's going to be like a minute and a half. You're like, fuck it, I ain't got time for that. Minute and a half of my time. I can't concentrate on that.
But the fascinating thing is, we can be on our phones for 3 hours.
Looking at 15 seconds.
Going, I haven't got time to watch a minute and a half.
I know.
I've got time to watch 3 hours worth of 15 seconds. Or scroll through 27 different headlines. It's so strange what's happening to our brains.
Yeah, we're not reading articles. We're just looking at headlines. We're not... So I think I was forced because of a job to read a book, right? I know. It's absolute batshit, this. I cannot tell you how much I enjoyed just being, like, I had a very strict deadline. I had to read it within, like, a week or two, so I couldn't muck about. And I just finished it, and it was so, I really looked forward to it.
Yeah.
Picking up the book, I had no distractions, I couldn't look at my phone, and I was really invested in what I was reading. And I think that's what you get from what you've created, is that you get people investing in the artists, in the writers, in the people that you're trying to sort of put out there and give them a platform. And I think that's really, really important. Have you had a lot of, what sort of feedback have you had about that? Have you had people go, babe, put it online?
Yeah, everyone. everyone's like, yeah, but where can I get it online? But then I explain, you know, actually reading something physically, you know, unlocks different parts of your brain, and it's good for your well-being, and it's, you know, about health and well-being as well. And then they're like, oh, okay, that makes kind of sense. And then they look at it and they flick through, and because it's all colourful and it's, you know, it's just something a bit different, and you can keep it. It feels like just something really special and just lovely. So yeah, I talk them round basically,
yeah.
And I put my foot down, and I just say no, you can't make me. I'm not going to do it.
I'm liking everything you're saying.
Yeah,
yeah. It's absolutely brilliant. You've had 200 contributors so far.
Yes, so
far. Are you always looking for more contributors?
Always, always. We can never have too many contributors.
If you in the audience tonight have not yet contributed to the Happy Hood, but you would like to, could you just give us a cheer? Great. So you've got so many more contributors here, including Fiona in the front row.
Oh, yes.
So this is exciting. Now, I just want to come over to you, Jamila.
Hi.
Can you tell us about Brown Girl Mag? Because it's got a different scope, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's... Well, we work for the UK branch, but basically it was just a space for South Asian people in the diaspora, so people who are outside of South Asia, to find community online. Because even now, if I look in the audience, it's kind of spot the person of colour, because I can't really see many people of colour here. And
some people are waving. The lights are down. If you're listening at home, there are always people of colour in the audience and are always welcome. Yeah. But you're right, of course, in most spaces, including this one, the dominant group is white.
Yeah, and it can feel intimidating, especially as I'm young, and it is an intimidating space always seeing white people, and that doesn't mean that it's out of fear, but it's just comfortability. I feel like a lot of people of colour can relate to that we feel comfortable when we see other people of colour. So having that online felt like home, like we're bringing home online. Like I can take it with me, like I can put it in my pocket, I can take home wherever I'm going. And I would love to bring that to other people. I'd love for other people who are not people of colour to feel that homeliness that we feel with other people of colour.
That's
really cool.
And how do people contribute to Brown Girl Mag? Who can contribute and how do they get involved?
Well, mostly it's people of colour, but brown people, you know, South Asian people. But anybody can. Anybody who has a story, anything that comes from the heart, from poetry to talent to anything, you just drop us an email and you're on the website.
Wow. So anyone can contribute?
Yeah.
In many spaces, you have a white dominance and, oh, let's include.
Yeah.
And I love that you have reversed that and you are absolutely, even in the title, centering brown women. It's just such a wonderful thing. Are you voluntary?
Yeah, at the moment, yeah.
And so could Brown Girl Mag use more money?
Absolutely. Everybody could use more money at this point.
Yeah. So Brown Girl Mag, how does it run at the moment? How do you fund it?
Sponsorship, people just sponsoring, really.
So like adverts?
Yeah.
So okay, so and would you like somebody to advertise, sponsor, just throw you a ton of money?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. Do we have to pay to read it?
No, you don't. It's completely free.
It's all free at the point of use, but which you can use. Do you take donations?
Yeah, we take donations as well.
Does anyone in the audience have something they'd like to advertise on Brown Girl Mag? How much would it cost to advertise? Do you take any level of advertising?
Any kind of level, but okay. From social media, which could be anything like a retweet, which could be free. You could send us anything. Mostly people who are South Asian. If you send us a small company, or you know, you have a music that you've just released, or a poem, we could even do that for free. But something that
I'm trying to get you money. Stop offering things for free. This is the problem with feminism, isn't it? It's like, oh, but we do it for nothing. And I want people to pay you. So it's true. If you are grassroots, the great thing about Brown Girl Mag is they'll advertise you for free. If you are not grassroots, Alex, and you are not. If you are the living manifestation of the patriarchy in the front row of The Guilty Feminist, we are looking for your money. What sort of funding do you think, as a feminist, Alex, you would like to be looking at giving Brown Girl Mag? Do you have a company or anything?
That's a very vehement no there from Alex.
You're retired. Okay,
what about a one-off donation, Alex? What you got?
Oh, a one-off donation's a
He's
nice
rich
idea.
And retired.
Huh? What you got? What you got, mate? Huh? Yeah, what you got?
Yeah, I mean...
I mean, literally now.
Yeah, no.
You've got nothing. That's convenient, isn't it, Alex? Yeah, eh?
No. Alex, no, seriously, we're joking, but also it would be lovely if you... Can we make a regular direct debit?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So, Alex, how about, like, I don't know, what do you think? £5 a month, would that be... Just have one fewer Starbucks coffees a month. Okay, we're going to move over to what we can get out of... No, seriously, though, anyone in the audience who thinks this is a great thing, you know, sometimes people say, oh, do the work, and you think, oh, well, I do, you know, no. That's a great way to do the work. If you are a white person in this audience, and there are lots and lots of white people in this audience, a great thing to do is go, do you know what? I'm just going to set up a direct debit.
We've got
someone in the audience. Yes, what would you like to say? Oh, great. So what's your name?
Terry.
So Terry, you work for an advisory service and you could look to do some social media partnerships?
Yeah.
Excellent. Can anybody else think of a way to help either Brown Girl Mag or The Happy Hood? Bearing in mind, this is a local Northampton magazine that is making your patch of the world significantly better by engaging people, by giving people a sense of community and connection, and by creating a space where local artists can thrive. That is the answer to people feeling disconnected, disenfranchised, depressed, and then spiraling and in ways damaging the community rather than building it up. So is there anyone in the room, I love doing this kind of thing, is there anyone in the room who thinks, hold on, I could help in some way or another? And it could be with space, it could be with money, it could be with amplification, it could be with your company might have some kind of corporate responsibility that you think, oh, we could ask them. Is there anyone at all who's got any ideas to help the Happy Hood? I'm going to leave it with you. Great, okay. So Fiona wants to send you a bunch of jokes.
I mean, I take cash as well, but that's...
Yeah. So...
Can I trade that in for them?
What's that?
Oh, yes, thank
you. Stockists, great idea.
Yeah, so we've got 17 local stockists across Northampton. So if anyone wants to stock it or buy it for their employees or just subscribe, you can subscribe and have it posted through your door every quarter. So, yeah. Loads of ways.
Okay, great. So has anyone got anywhere they can stock it? Or can anyone suggest to their local news agent that, hey, would you stock the Happy Hood because I want to buy it? Could anyone do that? Just give us a cheer if you think you could ask your local news agent if they would get it in because you would buy it. Just give us a cheer. Great. Okay, so we might get some local stockists. And if anyone's got any other ideas, please feel free to shout them out.
Yeah, just go to thehappyhood.com. All of the contact details are on there. You can see us on socials, DM me, anything.
Great. And can I ask you this? How have you kept it going for 4 years? Because most things fizzle out. It's true. Lots of people start this kind of stuff. And for very good reasons sometimes, or just because it's hard to be resilient, that dies a death in 6 months. How have you kept it going for 4 years?
I don't really know. I just won't be... Oh, thank you.
That's a rock star, we heard from the audience.
Thank you. Your £5 is coming to you later. I won't be told no and I won't give up. And I'm kind of bloody minded about it now. It's like, I've started, so I need to keep going.
Okay.
And that's it. And I think that's something else that people, if you know, they're listening around the world, want to start something up. It will be hard work, like, don't get me wrong. But you just don't give up and, yeah.
Any from either of you, any mistakes you've made or things you'd recommend, quick pieces of advice, because we've got to bring on our final act, but quick pieces of advice for people wanting to start something or run something like what you guys are doing?
Just get as many people involved as possible. Don't do it all yourself, because that's what we did early on. There was only a small number of us. So it's power, you know, power in numbers. And yeah, just be tenacious, really.
Don't be scared. Yeah. Like, a lot of the time I'm shitting it about what I've got to say or who I'm saying it to. But really, just say it, because I'm sure someone is there and they're like, yeah, what she's saying is fact. So there you go. Just say it.
Great.
Just do it.
That's great advice. You guys have really inspired me, and I think you're going to inspire people all around the world to just start something, just do something, just have a presence and a community space where people can, you can collect other people's voices and amplify them. Everybody wants it. And if we do not resource it, if we do not recommend it, if we do not buy it, if we do not sign up, if we do not direct debit to it, it just can't exist. It can't exist without you. And that's why it's wonderful, because it forces you to engage. It forces you to get out of bed and do a little bit of feminism. These guys are doing the really hard work. All you need to do is say, you know what, I'll subscribe to that. I'll give them even £1 a month, but I'm going to show them. I'll send them one of my bad jokes, Fiona. But what I'm doing is I'm saying, I appreciate you. I see you. I love you. And this is the way we all activate each other to care more. And if we're not taking care of our patch of the world, how can we be going, oh, I'm a feminist because I've signed this petition about another country, and we don't even care what's happening in our local community? So get involved with Brown Girl Mag. Get involved with the Happy Hood. Wherever you are in the world, start your own thing, amplify other people, and create some kind of community. Because if not here locally, where? That's where it starts. Can I have a huge round of applause for Jamila and Laura? And the incredible Jen Brister. And now we welcome to the stage the wonderful Grace Petrie.
Thank you so much. What a fucking night, hey? Yeah. Oh, I just love doing these shows, you know, and it makes me feel so... When I listen to people who are just, like, doing amazing things and making the world a better place, it makes me feel so impassioned and, like, there's things to fight for. Now, listen, I know this kind of goes with the territory, but give me a shout if you are a feminist. Yes, good, yes. If you didn't shout then, oh, you must have had a dreadful night. But serves you right for being a dick. So I am a feminist. It's sort of required to get the job here. But I'm a feminist and I'm a socialist. And I'm a queer person as well. And, you know, on all three scores, I don't feel like we're winning. I just don't feel like we're winning too many of these fights lately. You know, there's a lot of fucking scary things going on in the world. And I started writing songs I'm a protest singer, that's what I do. I write sort of left-wing protest songs. I've been doing that for 12 years, right? I've been going around... Thank you so much, yeah. I've been going around Britain for 12 years trying to make it more left-wing. And in that time, if anything, I've made things quite a lot worse, I think. I think that's what we know I've done, really. And, you know, when I started... Can I have a bit more vocal, please, in the wedge? When I started doing... It was in my early 20s, and it was, like, a really exciting time politically in Britain. You know, there were loads of marches, and we'd occupy St. Paul's, you know? And I was like, this is it. You know, my generation is going to be the generation that changes the world. And it turns out my generation weren't the first generation that thought that. So, you know, I wrote all these songs when I was in my early 20s. And then last year I brought out a record and I'm sort of settling into a new realisation about politics, which is that... So I've lost every election that I've been of voting age for, right? It's been great. It's been a fucking time. And I was thinking, you know, after the last one and after various sort of political defeats, I was kind of thinking, I'm just done with this. You know, I don't want to think about this anymore. And then I sort of realised that, you know, if all of the people, you know, if all of the feminists and all of the queer campaigners and all of the left-wing campaigners and all the trade unions, if all the people that have come before me and fought and in some cases died, right, for their beliefs and for these politics and these ideas, if they'd have given up the first time that they lost, then I wouldn't be here. I literally wouldn't be standing on this stage. So I think it is so important to keep fighting, even on the, especially on the days that it's the hardest to keep fighting. So I wrote a song about it, and I promise you it is an optimistic song. But it is called The Losing Side. So let's sing it all together, Northampton. What do you think, huh? Are you with me? Is that okay? Can we sing the chorus together? So I wrote this just after the vigil for Sarah Everard, which was obviously so brutally and, as we now know, unlawfully disrupted by the police. And you know, it refers as well to the sort of Police and Crime Commissioners Bill and so many of the laws that are coming through, you know, Parliament at the moment that are just so fucking scary. But I think, you know, in so many ways they are designed, you know, like they're designed to get you downhearted, and they're designed to like make you run out of steam and make you run out of passion, because you know, the hardest thing in the world is to keep going in the most important times. So this is a song about that. And okay, guess what? From common grief to Bristol up in flames, we came here begging justice, and instead we got the blame for peace disturbed out on the streets tonight. And watching on the BBC, you know something's not right when mourners come with candles and with flowers, wrestled 3-on-1 and pinned down by the state's full powers. This is their world, and these have been the rules. We have come to break it down with bloody fingernails for tools. This threat of violence, this tightrope wire, we can no longer bear it. We're all too fucking tired. No minute silence, we will sing higher. Don't tell us to light a candle when we have come to start a fire. And if I spend my life on the losing side, you can lay me down knowing that I tried. There's a better world, and on a quiet day when I hold my breath, I can hear her say she's on her way. She's on her way. It's safe at home, you watch it on TV, and never dream that one day you could be the enemy. That you might one day be under attack from all that should protect you, hoping someone has your back. The history books are screaming from the shelves, and no government who outlaws speaking to defend ourselves has good things planned. A storm ahead I see, and not one of us will bear it without solidarity. Oh, I see trouble all my days. This ailing, failing world sends signs of fire and flood and plague. But from the rubble, from the race, the mightiest cathedral, from these ashes we will raise. And if I spend my life on the losing side, you can lay me down knowing that I tried. There's a better world, and on a quiet day when I hold my breath, I can hear her say, take heart, my sisters, this fire will never die. Take heart, my comrades, and no one left behind. And if I spend my life on the losing side, you can lay me down knowing that I tried. There's a better world. And on a quiet
I spend my life on the losing side. You can lay me down, knowing that I trust there's a better world. And on a quiet day, when I hold my breath, I can hear her say, if I spend my life on the losing side, you can lay me down, knowing that I tried. There's a better world, and on a quiet day, when I hold my breath, I can hear her say that she's on her way.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much, Northampton. You've been absolutely wonderful.
You have been listening to The Guilty Feminist with me, Deborah Francis-White, guest co-host Jen Brister, and our very special guests Jamila Mokhtadir and Laura Graham, plus Jessica Foster Q, Narissa Simone and Grace Petrie. The Guilty Feminist theme tune was composed by Mark Hodge. The recording engineer was Grundy Lizimbro. The producer for The Spontaneity Shop was Tom Zielinski. Thanks to Rachel Craftman, Gina Dicio, Stuart Arnold, and everyone at the Northampton Derngate Theatre, as well as all of you for listening. For more information about this and other episodes, visit guiltyfeminist.com. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe.
I'm going on tour in the autumn. It's a show called Wench. Please come. I'm not coming to Northampton. I'm so sorry, but I'm coming to Cambridge and I'm coming to Leicester, and they're quite close. Come. Thank you. I was going to do that for you, Jess. I was just doing a tag of, are you coming? Yeah, but
I just came on and did it for you, Debs.
She even does her own plugs. It's that this woman does, there's nothing she can't do. If you
apart from leave the stage.
Sorry. That's like watching her get out of a WhatsApp group.
The Guilty Feminist is provided exclusively from Acast. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.